This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Tejas Lahavia. Tejas is the director, a leader of the advisory services practice at Huron Consulting Group. Huron Consulting Group is one of the largest firms in the world and a great healthcare practice. He's watching a lot, mergers and acquisitions in healthcare, and he'll give us a sense today of what he's seeing, where there's interest, where there's not interest, where it's driven by hospitals and health systems, where it's driven by private equity, some of that intersects, and a little bit more. Tejas, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Scott, for having me. Again, I'm a director at the Financial Advisory Group at the Huron Consulting Group. Huron is a national consulting firm with deep expertise in healthcare. We do strategy consulting, operational and financial assessment, performance improvement, revenue cycle, restructuring, valuation, and transaction advisory services. And my area of focus is specifically valuations and financial advisory for M&A as well as a lot of other purposes. So anything that has to do with value or fair market value of assets, service line, or businesses, that's my area of expertise. And within healthcare, we do a lot of different subsectors, from hospitals and health systems, physician practices, ASCs, dialysis, behavioral health, and many others.
Thank you. And where are you seeing a lot of mergers and acquisitions today, or what's happening in that area today?
Yeah, and that's a very interesting question. You know, I compare it with how the housing market is currently. We saw a lot of buyers trying to push back on their purchases last year due to COVID. And now all of a sudden we see a surge in purchases. Unfortunately, the healthcare acquisition requires a lot more due diligence. So we saw when the COVID started last year, the deal activity kind of slowed down. Everybody was waiting to see how things go. The management at the target companies were not accessible because they were aligning all of their resources after COVID patients. And we saw some pickup in Q3 and Q4 of 2020. And a lot of those have now rolled over into 2021. So we've seen an increasing amount of M&A activity. That being said, there's also been a slowness in kind of the timing of closing the transaction. So the buyers are trying to do an additional due diligence, or there are some regulatory hurdles that are kind of slowing the pace of the transaction. But that being said, the transactions are still closing. There's still a lot of capital out there, whether it's a private equity or health systems. They still have a strong balance sheet. So that being said, they will continue to see the M&A activity throughout the year.
And is the acquisition activity, is it being funded by private equity, or is it being funded by strategic buyers? Who are the buyers today? What do you see there?
I think that depends on the subsector. There are certain sectors within healthcare that are more attractive to private equity buyers, whereas some sectors, it's not meant for private equity. We learned from a history of healthcare M&A that the starting point of any acquisition is really alignment of long-term strategy and assessing a cultural fit. The health systems target more of meeting the healthcare needs of the community. And if the potential buyer fails that step, those deals are not going to move forward with the buyer. So that being said, certain sectors like orthopedic, GI, dental, dermatology, anything that has a good payer mix and high reimbursement are going to be attractive targets for private equity. Whereas most of the others are going to be towards the health systems. But one interesting trend we have noticed is rather than a straight acquisition, what we have seen is increasing amount of joint venture and partnership type of M&A activity between the health system, because it kind of aligns with getting rid of most unprofitable service lines. And we've seen over the last year or two, most CFOs and CEOs have been trying to evaluate Does it make sense to sell the whole piece or just evaluate each service line and partner with another strategic player in the local market? Because that could work well for both sides.
Fascinating. And talk about what you're excited about this year. What do you see going on this year? Where's the M&A activity? I know that there was a lot of pent-up demand that's starting to be met. But what do you see this year? Are you excited about this year? Do you see this as a very busy year?
Yeah, from a deal activity, I think this is going to be a busy year just because of the access to capital that's available. That being said, the valuation side is going to be still challenging just because there is just a lot of noise on the financial statements. Most companies or health systems that look strong, they're likely because of government stimulus packages or paycheck protection money and CARES Act funding. Once these things are wiped off the balance sheet, there may be some liquidity or solvency concerns about these health systems. And this is where I think we'll see a lot more additional due diligence or quality of earnings type of work. Because I think that's an important step as most buyers are looking to narrow down their targets.
But your point is very well taken that as the CARES Act, the Patient Protection Act, these different funds fall away, all of a sudden you see hospitals again very much scrambling to try and make their margins work with often either lower occupancy or the same occupancy but greater acuity of patients, not necessarily more profitable patients, so trying to come back to finding margins when they've been in a spot where you really had a great deal of help, financial help this last year to go with a horrible crisis, and now really struggling to find margin again, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. Because of the COVID activity that we had last year, there's been a lot of abnormal or non-recurring items on the financials that makes it difficult to compare with the historical or give an indication of what they would look on a go-forward basis. But one interesting trend we notice is in a lot of these joint ventures and partnership type agreements, the strategic buyers are mostly focusing on contribution margins because there's a lot of synergies that could be available from corporate overheads and other overheads that are not typical you see during non-COVID or in certain markets. So we saw some good activity in terms of joint ventures. We saw Kindred Healthcare announce a couple of joint venture partnerships last year with Bay State and Antelope Valley. So we're going to see these type of M&A activity more than a typical acquisition. And again, this kind of aligns well with a long-term strategy, just because it's hard to look at the bottom line and make a decision whether this is the right partner or not.
Yes, and you pointed out, well, the Kindred is a perfect example of a hospital joint venturing a service line that might not have been a profitable service line, but joint ventured with a strategic like Kindred could work well. And Kindred also doesn't have to apply all the overhead that a hospital might allocate to things, so they can really look at contribution margins, not just, total margins, is the point you're making, I think.
Correct.
Fascinating. So, Josh, what a pleasure to visit with you. We'd love to have you back on and talk to you more about some of the things you're seeing, but what a pleasure. Thank you for joining us today on the Becker Private Equity Podcast and giving us some perspective. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.